Not only is he on the throne of God, angels, principalities, and powers being made subject unto him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But he lives inside his covenant people. And that's how communion can be a miracle for your life, because heaven and earth touch each other when the Spirit of God manifests the healing power of Jesus in our lives. And so that's what we want to remember, his victory over sin, Satan, and death. And that victory lives inside us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so with that, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 26. And we'll read the words of Jesus. It's hard to grasp that, you know, just yesterday, Peggy and I were at these places that we're reading some scriptures from here this evening. At the Mount of Olives, looking over the Kidron Valley to the old city of Jerusalem. And at the city of David and all these other places. It's hard to believe. Just think that those of us who've been able to do this, even if you've just been one time, you've done something that Moses, Moshe, never got to do. Isn't that truly amazing? This wonderful, mighty man of God who changed the world, one of the great personalities of all time, the meekest man on the face of the earth, the Bible says, he never got to go into the land himself. And here we are, born again Gentiles, thousands of years later, and thousands of miles across the ocean, just jetting over there whenever. He needed a jet camel, I guess. But it's truly remarkable that people like us can go to the land of God. And people like Moses never got there. And so we're so grateful that we are living at a time when we're seeing Zion restored. Amen. It doesn't matter what the Israeli government policies are. They're not running the show. They can cause unnecessary suffering by their foolish decisions. But they come and go. Prime ministers come and go. And the King of Israel lives forever. Hallelujah. The greater Son of David. And he is going to see that his redemptive plans and purposes are fulfilled. So what a joy to be alive in this day and age. What a joy to be able to participate by giving of our funds, our money, our talents, our gifts, our resources, and be like the Sea of Galilee, giving out, not just the Dead Sea, taking things in. So we urge you to partner with IHCS in all these different ways, and don't just receive the blessing, but be giving back. Amen? Because this is how God returns his blessings to us. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it. Notice it doesn't say he blessed it. He blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord. Can you say that? He blessed the Lord. Try it again. He blessed the Lord. He broke the bread, but he blessed the Lord. Hallelujah. He blessed the Lord and broke it and gave it to his Talmudim, his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks. Again, he blessed the Lord and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the blood of the new covenant, Jesus says. The Bible is a book about a covenant. It's a book about a covenant. In Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, it's called the blood of the everlasting covenant. So how much of the word everlasting do we not understand? Hallelujah. If it was everlasting then, it's everlasting now, and it will be everlasting in the future. The blood of Yeshua cries out on our behalf forever, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. The blood of the everlasting covenant, a sacred compact that two people enter into, mutually committing their lives and their resources to one another. And this covenant story is progressively unfolded in the pages of the Scripture, and that's the master theme of the Bible. It's the central story of the Bible, and all the other stories feed into that one story and help carry it forward through the pages of Scripture. God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. Amen? Hallelujah. We see it in Adam and Eve when they sinned and God clothed them with the skins of the animal. And he didn't look at them in their sins. He saw them clothed with the skins of the animal. And that was their garment of salvation and robe of righteousness until Mashiach would come. Hallelujah. And then, of course, with Noah, when he got off the ark, the first thing he did was make a blood covenant sacrifice. Wouldn't you do that if you survived the storm and the flood? Isn't that what you would do? That's the first thing that we would do, and that's the first thing that Noah did. And God confirmed it, and he put the big rainbow up there for us to see, you know, as a reminder. And Abraham, Corman read earlier, when he offered Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, exactly where Yeshua carried his wood up to the top of Mount Moriah, called the Temple Mount today, exactly the same place. Exactly the same spot. And it was a picture of when God would offer his son as the blood covenant sacrifice for our sins. And then later renewed with Moses, Moshe, when he gave them the Ten Commandments and all the other Torah laws, instructions. And Moses took the hyssop and dipped it in the blood and sprinkled it over all the stone tablets. And when God looked down, he didn't see all their sins. He saw the stone tablets covered in blood and sealed in the water. Hallelujah. It was the blood of the everlasting covenant. And God said, you will be a royal priest, a kingdom of priests to all the nations of the world. Hey, fellas, put this little blue dye on your tzitzit as a reminder that you are royal priesthood to the nations of the world. And then through David, he raised him up and promised David that he would always have a son who would sit on his throne forever. And we know that greater son of David as Jesus, Yeshua, the Nazarene, we might say, and all of us Notzreims who follow him. Hallelujah. And sounding out his words out of our hearts. David had a promise that he would always have a son who would sit on his throne forever, a royal promise. And then God raised up the prophets to continue the story and said that through the prophets, God would take the Torah off the stone tablets and write it on the fleshly tablets of our hearts. Hallelujah. And he would make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And all of the the foreigners, the Gentiles, could participate and be grafted in and become part of the commonwealth of Israel. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And amen. Then Jesus comes along and he says all of these things, that he is the fulfillment. He is the reality of all of these pictures that have gone before him. Pictures of a person. And all through the Newer Testament scriptures, we find the teachings that God was reaching out beyond the Jewish people to those who were foreigners, strangers to the covenant of promise, and that through this Jewish Lord and Savior and Redeemer and Mashiach, Messiah, the anointed one greater than Moses, the prophet from among the brethren, the anointed one greater than Aaron, who didn't make a golden calf, hallelujah. The anointed one, greater than David, who had no sin in his life. He was the perfect righteous one, the perfect anointed prophet and priest and king. And through him, all of us who were far off and strangers to the covenants of promise could come into a blood covenant relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and live forever in his eternal glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. And so Jesus was celebrating this covenant meal at the end of his time. And of course, it was evening, you know, when he's doing this. And it was the mealtime customs in his time, to give everybody a greeting as they would come into the house in Middle Eastern ways with a slight little bow and greet them with Shalom Aleichem, you know, peace to you. And they would return the greeting, Aleichem Shalom, you know, and peace be back to you. And they had certain hospitality things that they did. First of all, they'd greet one another with a holy kiss. Hallelujah. And you read about that in the Bible. They'd put their hands on each other's shoulders and give them a little peck on each side of the cheek. You know how they do it in the Middle East. And then they would wash each other's feet, because walking through the sand and rocks and dustiness of the land, their feet get dirty, and it was the household guests' responsibility to provide foot washing for their guests. And then they would anoint their face and head with oil, because again, you're walking through the hot, dusty, dry climate of the Middle East, and you need a little ahava on your face. Hallelujah, because they get dry and cracky, and you know, so it was always the custom when the people would come into the home to anoint their heads with oil and give them something to eat and something to drink, because they didn't have kosher Big Macs back in those days. Praise God. And with the covenant meal, they had a certain seating arrangement. And I've taught you this many times, that it was in the shape of what's called a triclinium, which is a horseshoe shape. And as you look at the triclinium, looking at it from this way, it's the left side of it, so it's going around like a horseshoe. It's the left side that's the most important side of the table. And the guest of the host would sit in the second position. And then to the left and right would be the honored guest. We don't have a drawing of that this evening, but The host would sit in the second position, and again, the honored guests would sit in the first and third position surrounding the host. And the one that you would dip the sop in is to your left, because they're going to sit on cushions. They didn't have chairs and fancy dining room furniture. And so they're going to sit on cushions and recline towards the left. And so the two people sitting on each side of the host were called the honored guests. And the one to the left of the host was the special honored guest. And this gives us a new understanding of the mother of James and John, who said, "Master, when you come into your kingdom, let my sons sit one on the left and the other on the right when you come into your kingdom." Well, she was being a good mother. She wanted her boys to have the top spot in the kingdom, you see. And that's what that was all about. And after the hand washing, they'd have the proper blessings, and they do the blessing of the Lord over the bread, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, and they would bless the Lord, and Hamotze Lechem Min HaAretz, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the bread from the earth. So they didn't bless the food because the Lord had already told them what he considered food in the Bible. And so they would bless the Lord, thanking him for the food. And then they would take the cup, of course, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Peri HaGafan, and bless the Lord for the cup. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Then they would have the meal itself. They didn't have candles like we might have today. They only had oil lamps, which they used. They didn't have fancy china. They just brought out their best pottery for the meal. They didn't have nice silver that they used, but they used the bread and vegetables for dipping in the sop. And again, they didn't sit in chairs, but they reclined to the left on cushions, showing that they were free people, is the idea. The lamb was roasted or put in a thick stew with vegetables, is the way they had that. And they had their unleavened bread, you know, their flat matzah. They had to fix it a certain way because it takes 18 minutes when the water and the flour come together, so they have to get it out in the right time so it won't become leavened. And they had four glasses of wine, which they mixed with water, and they would drink it according to the four statements of redemption that God gave them in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And they ate their bitter herbs to remind them of their bitter days of bondage in Egypt. Onions and garlic and radishes and peppers. Other items were added after the time of Jesus. And then, as I mentioned, the seating at the Last Supper is going to put Jesus in the second position on the left side. And John, his beloved disciple, is going to be in the first position. And on the left side of Yeshua, the one who was given the honored guest position, only Jesus would do this, of course, was Judas. And you can figure all this out when you do the archaeological studies and see how they actually sat and leaned towards the left. It's the only way. See, John could be on the chest of Jesus because he's leaning towards the left. And Jesus is going to be leaning towards the left, towards Judas, so they can put the sop in the same little bowl according to the words in the New Testament. So it was called a triclinium, or horseshoe-shaped table. And we can see how they would be doing this as we study the first century way of them sitting at these tables. It's interesting that Peter, who probably thought he should be in one of those places, hello, was actually on the other side of the table and the in position on the right, the furthest away from Jesus. And he didn't want to wash anybody's feet, if you remember. And unfortunately, his pride and his ego, thinking that he should be right up there close to the master and not showing humility, put him the furthest away from the master, from our Lord. And what a teaching that can be for us today. Amen? And so this was Peter's job then, to wash everybody's feet But he didn't really want to do that. And we see the dialogue that Jesus and Peter had about foot washing in the Gospels. I've mentioned that Judas had the guest of honor place. And so this is the place that Jesus was leaning towards him. It's really amazing to think that Jesus would put him in that place. We probably wouldn't let him in the room. Only Jesus would put him in the guest of honor role. And I'm not there yet. I don't know about you. But I hope to get there one day. And so we know they had the blessing of the bread. They had the blessing of the wine. They had the meal. And Jesus says, this is the blood of the covenant. Take and eat. And he didn't mean literally eating his body. But he says, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's talking about spiritual eating. He would come into us and we would come into him and the two of us would become one. He would put his spirit within us and write his laws on the fleshly tablets of our hearts. He would cause us to walk in his ways. He would cause us to keep his commandments. He would forgive our iniquities to be remembered no more. He would cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. He would separate us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. He would put his ruach, his spirit, inside of us and join us to himself. And all that he is in heaven is all that he would be inside of us. And he has conquered sin. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered death. And he sits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne of God. All angels, all principalities, all powers being made subject unto him. And the victory that he has in heaven, he is placed inside of us. This Jewish writer, Shaul, Paul says, you're seated with him in the heavenlies. That means all of his authority, all of his healing, all of his power, all of his love and joy and peace and goodness and authority, all that he is in himself, he's placed inside of us by giving us his own life as we receive his spirit. So we're not getting something from him to help us. We're getting him. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. And he takes all of our liabilities on the cross, all of our sins into his spirit, all of our sorrows into his soul, all of our sicknesses into his flesh, all of our human liabilities, he takes them all. And all of our human assets, which are there aren't any. Well, we're the poor in spirit crowd. We don't have any assets to give him that he needs. We only have liabilities. And then he gives us all of his liabilities, which are none. All right, good students, good Talmudim. And he gives us all of his assets, which are found in his life, forgiveness of sin, right standing with him. He clothes us with his garment of salvation and his robe of righteousness. And he gives us all that he has within himself, his gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, His miracle healing power for every need in our life. He changes all of our liabilities and gives us His divine assets in exchange. It's a one-sided covenant exchange, hallelujah, where He's done it all for us. And He's not only done it all for us, but He's done it all to us and in us, hallelujah. So all that He is in heaven is all that He is inside us. His authority, His power, His victories, His whatever that's inside Him is now inside you in the person of His Spirit. It's not something you get from Him. You get Him who is the something. And so He takes all of our liabilities. And when you take the cup and the bread here in a few moments, if you're carrying a liability in here tonight, in your spirit, in your soul, or in your body, then you give it to Him. Because He's already taken it. And there's no reason for you to continue to carry it. And He gives you in exchange His divine asset flowing out of His life in you that meets the liability that you have. For example, if you have fear and worry, if you're a fearful person, if you're what we call them a worry wart, and you have that in your life, when you take the cup and the bread, you say, Lord, I give You the liability of this fear and worry. And I receive in exchange the asset of Your peace that passes all understanding. You're making a divine exchange. If you come in beat down with sorrow and heartache, you say, Lord, I give You this sorrow. I give You this heartache. And I receive in exchange Your joy. And the joy of the Lord will be my strength. Hallelujah. And the joy that's in Him, that's in you, will manifest itself and drive out the sorrow and heartache. Hallelujah. You see? If you came in with rejection, then you give that to Him and you receive His love and acceptance. You're accepted in Him just for who you are. Hallelujah. If you're confused about things you need to know about your life, He says, ask Me, I will give you My mind, the mind of the Messiah, the mind of Christ, so you can think My thoughts. Lord, I give You the liability of my confusion. And I receive the asset of the guidance from Your Spirit to have Your mind to know what to do and what You want me to do in my life. If you have a sickness in your body, Lord, You took all of this. By Your stripes I am healed. And I receive the asset of Your healing and Your wholeness in my life. Body, soul, and spirit. If you came in bondage to something, some habit that you can't get rid of, that you don't like about yourself, or some process in your mind that torments you all the time, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Lord, I give You this whatever. And you receive the asset of His freedom and deliverance. If you're under a demonic attack, no more after tonight. You can get rid of that tonight. If you're weak and puny, He is strong. You see? If you have sin, He has forgiveness. If you have unrighteous thoughts, He is righteous. He is the I Am. He is all that you need Him to be, whenever you need Him to be, whatever you need Him to be, all the time. That's who He is. Hallelujah. And so you don't get something from Him again. You get Him who is the something. Amen. Hallelujah. That's pretty good stuff. And then He says, I'm going to come back one day and we'll have this meal together in My kingdom, in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. With all of the covenant people of God. And so we cry out, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, as the song was, when all of Zion says, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, when all of God's people cry out, Lord, come. The Messiah is coming soon to have a covenant meal with us in Jerusalem. And we want to practice this evening and get ready and rehearse. Luke 13:29 says, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And the Torah will go forth from Jerusalem. And the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And all the nations will come to Jerusalem and worship the King and celebrate Sukkot and beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. Hallelujah. And as we see Zion being regathered and redeemed and restored, the people of God's first covenant coming back to the land and to the God of the land, we know that His coming is at hand. Hallelujah. And mighty nations will come to Jerusalem and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is Adonai. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we bless You this evening. We magnify Your name, Lord. We exalt Your name. We say, You are our everything, Lord. You are our life. You are whatever we need You to be in our lives this evening. And we invite Your presence, Lord, as we partake of this covenant meal of life. And we're going to give You all of our liabilities tonight, Lord, as we take the cup and as we take the bread, and we're going to receive the asset out of Your life, of Your spirit, that we need to go away whole this evening. We bless You, Lord. We magnify Your name. Can you stand with me now as we're going to prepare ourselves? I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And we're going to worship the Lord as we take the elements. And as we worship the Lord, somewhere in that process, you give your liability to Him. And you receive the asset that He has that meets that need in your life. This is to be a healing service for you this evening. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you. You have the healer living inside you. See? So as we worship the Lord and prepare ourselves to receive the elements, the Lord will come and meet you at your point of need. So let's focus on Him and who He is. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's on the throne. And that throne life lives inside you. Wow. So we invite him, Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as we worship the Lord, we ask our ushers to pass the elements, and we'll have further instructions along the way. Top of the film back for the bread. It's representing the body of Yeshua as he bore our sins in his spirit, our sorrows in his soul, and our sicknesses in his flesh. As we continue to sing this song, we're inviting him, his spirit, to manifest to us the life of Jesus. As we take the bread and then just a moment the cup, you give him whatever liability you're carrying, you see. And you ask him to give you in place the asset that flows out of his own spirit that's inside you, that you need. And so let's take the bread and give the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Hamotzei Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Lord, we thank you that you brought forth Yeshua, the bread of life, from the earth, and you gave him resurrection, life, and power. That same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us. You can also quicken our mortal bodies and fashion them like your own glorious body, and we shall look upon you as you are, for we shall be like you. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord. There is none other like you, Lord. You are the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, our King, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Healer. You are everything, Lord. You are our life. And as we take this bread, Lord, we remember that you're not on the cross, that you're not in the tomb. You're on the throne of God. And you've not only given your life for us, but you've given your life to us. Now let's take the bread together. Lord, we are grateful that you are the bread of life that came down from heaven and gave your life. And whoever eats this bread will never die, but you will raise us up again on the last day, and we will stand with the saints of old and bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, come now and heal your people, Lord. Give him your liabilities now, saints. Whatever you're carrying here tonight, cast those cares upon the Lord. And then ask his spirit inside you to manifest the asset out of his life that you need. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are faithful, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the God who heals us of all of our diseases, Lord, and forgives us of all our iniquities, and crowns us with love and kindness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that is new every morning, Lord. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you can do anything. There's nothing that's hard for you. We come as your covenant people this evening, Lord, with all of our human frailties and weaknesses and liabilities, our fears, our concerns, our heartaches, all of our cares, Lord, our physical problems, our emotional stresses. We cast them upon you now, Lord, and we receive your asset, Lord, that meets those needs. Go ahead and do that, saints. They'd been waiting for this cup for centuries. The one that the prophet spoke about. When Mashiach came, he would cut a new covenant with his people. All that Jesus did is represented in this little cup. The blood of the grapes. The lifeblood of Yeshua that is without spot and without blemish, that has the life of God in it. Not in the cup itself, but what it symbolizes. His life coming into us and joining us to himself. We are in him. On the throne of God, and he is in us on the earth. And the Spirit unites the two of us to become one, joined by our spirits to the Creator of all things, our Creator, our Father. And Jesus took that cup. It's been sitting there waiting for him to come. This is the new covenant in my blood. All that you've been longing for since Adam and Eve, since Noah, since Father Abraham, since Moses, since David, since the prophets, I am he. All of you, drink of it. Would you take the cup? As you taste that going down through your mouth and throat into your body, it's a symbol that the Spirit of the living God resides inside you. Now cast all of your cares upon him and receive his asset. We bless you, Lord. You are holy, 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 Lord. You are the Holy One of Israel who lives inside of us. You've made us to be a holy people, a royal priesthood, Lord. You've clothed us with your garment of salvation and your robe of righteousness. You are our near kinsman. You are our redeemer. You are the lover of our soul. You are our everything. You are our life. And we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. All that is within me, bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lift your voices to the Lord and bless his holy name. Lord, we bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. We exalt your name, Lord. We bless you from now and forevermore, Lord, because you are from everlasting to everlasting, from vanishing point to vanishing point, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. We bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Come on now, saints. Let's bless the Lord.